Good morning and welcome to South Haven Christian Church. On your way in this morning, we were handed a bulletin. They're a little bit smaller today, but they are basically the same thing. Inside is our white handout, is our silent roll call card. If you're a guest, please fill the side that says guest. Members, the opposite side, any prayer concerns or announcements, you'll put in the offering plate at the offering time. If everyone will please stand, we're going to begin worship by singing Go Tell It on the Mountain. As you make your way back to your seats, if you would continue to stand, we're going to do our morning reading.
Good morning. I'd like to read from God's Word. Psalm 89:1-2 says, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself.
Please join us as we're singing Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels we have heard high, sweetly singing royal praise, and the mountains imply, echo back their joy strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Say, what may the tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
As we get ready for prayer, we're going to be singing We Three Kings.
Mike said to let everybody know that he's not He's not with us today. He went down there to see Sarah's parents down to Merritt Island. So say if anybody needs him, he's only an hour away. So he's down there. Most of us know that he hurt his hand, his wrist, and was walking with a cane and put a cane somewhere in the way, and then she tripped over the cane and she broke her hip and she had her surgery. So but she's home and she's doing okay. So they just went to be with them in case they needed something, you know, this weekend. So that's where they are, him and Sarah. And we got a few prayer requests. One is when Ingrid, co-worker Moses, his biological parents passed away recently, and it is hitting him very hard. So that when somebody passes away, you know, it hits some people. Sometimes we don't realize how much our parents mean till they're gone, you know. So that his Moses is, it hit him hard at this time, you know. So pray for Moses. And Judy and Chuck Turner, I guess they're traveling. And she went to see a great-grandson, I think, up North Carolina somewhere. And supposedly Judy, you know, they have diagnosed cancer on her breath, you know, but she don't want to say anything, so I don't know really what that is the prayers mainly that maybe it's not true, you know, or something that God maybe could help her on that part. And Paige and Sunny Mallet, well, she's been sick, I don't know, probably about a month. And the doctors can't do anything for her anymore, so she came home this week, a couple of days ago. And I guess they don't give it much time to live on this with us. So let's go to God in prayer and pray for these people. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for providing a place for us to meet in your house here. May you bless each one that walk into your doors. We all have problems, different kinds, pain, stress, or many different problems that we have. So we ask you to touch each one, Lord, and guide us, and give us a better health, and give us the wisdom to do it, so we can do your will. And we know that you tell us that we are, if we obey your will, you will take care of us. So we ask you to bless each one, and thank for your love, and also pray for these names that we mentioned. We do pray for Moses, as his parents passed away recently. He's stressed and needs your help. May you touch him and help him to make it to these difficult times, especially this holidays, Christmas time. People seem to remember more about things of the past, and so we ask you to give Moses strength that he needs. May he go to you and for help. And we know you are there to receive. And we do pray for Yuri and Chuck Turner, and as they travel, protect them on the road. We pray that they will enjoy the visit with the little one up north, baby. And we pray that you bring them back safe. And we do pray for you, this not too good a news from the doctor that she's been diagnosed, but she seems like she's not worrying about it. So may you give her peace and And just be with the doctors, may be able to remove whatever the problem is, Lord. So just be with Yuri and Chuck and bless them and bring them back. And we do pray for Sunny and Paige. It's a heartbreaking to hear that Paige is a home. She's not in pain because they give her medications. But you ask to bless her. We know she's in peace, and I'll got to see all the family members there, and everybody's with her. So that's a blessing, and she's at home, and we ask to just carry her along there. As Sunny said, to pray that she would spend a little more time with him, and because they've been together for many, many years, and he don't want to see her let her go. But yes, bless Sunny and give him understanding and wisdom and strength that he needs at this time. And as we celebrate Christmas, we know that we are supposed to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And as he came into the world as a baby to save us and whoever respond to his word. So we pray that we won't forget that. And we always remember what he came for, to give us life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and thank you for your love and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bring him, Lord, the It's good to be home.
In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, we are told about Jesus being tested three separate times by the devil to see if he would sin. The first time was when he was in the wilderness, and after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil tempted him by trying to get him to turn the stones into bread to satisfy his hunger. The second was a test of God's word. He took Jesus to the holy city. He had him stand at the highest part of the temple and wanted him to throw himself off and see if God would truly send the angels to keep him from getting hurt. The third time was when the devil took Jesus to the high mountain and showed him all the kingdom and all its splendor and told him, "This could all be yours if you will bow down and worship me." Every time of temptation, Jesus used the word of God that we sometimes refer to as the sword of the Spirit to cut him down. It is true that we are tested, just like our brother, to see what we would do and how we would manage the test situations that come our way. Recently, while in the hospital, I was truly tested, and I would like to share this experience with you all. I first must tell you, the old Big Al had a truly short fuse, no patience at all, and could outdo any sailor with his mouth. Here to give testimony of that, a few of you in the congregation know the old Big Al, and that would be my family, Ginger Morris, and the entire Fiddler family. On Friday, December 10th, while in Advent Health, my test and temptation started. My first test was when the enemy delayed my nurse in doing my sugar test before eating lunch. I was sitting there watching my food tray get cold for 45 minutes. I just calmly told her when she was done, "You need to order me a new tray." The second test was while eating lunch, I realized that my IV was leaking. I tried numerous times to get someone to come in the room. No one came in, so I sat there. I ate my lunch. Then I called the floor supervisor nurse. She sent the charge nurse. She flushed the IV, and bingo, it was leaking. The third time was when a respiratory therapist came into my room telling me and my nurse I should be afraid and fear what my doctor was doing to me in my treatment that day. When he said it the second time, I had no choice but to calmly and assertively tell him, "I serve a high and mighty God, and he tells me there's no room for fear in my Christian life." So he said, "I think we need to change this conversation." I said, "I think we do," and he left the room. He came back 3 minutes later. He looked at me and said, "You might be the one in a million. Bygones were bygones, water under the bridge." He was my therapist the whole day, and everything worked out. I, too, had to do like my brother and use that wonderful and powerful two-edged sword, the word, to make it through them temptations. Our sister Maureen has been helping me and encouraging me to know and use the special fruit we receive as Christians and learn to grow them in our lives. And we are told these in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and they are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In each of my tests, I immediately put my mind on these scriptures, and never once did the old owl come out. So as we come and partake of the table, and this time of our brother's celebration of birth, we must also always remember that he died on the cross so that we too could have the life and the power that he had on this earth. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are so gracious and thankful that in this country we can still come on every Lord's Day out in the freedom and in the open and worship you and take part of the bread and juice to remember that our brother had to give up his life on the cross to make it necessary for us all to become born again Christians and receive all the gifts and promises that you have given us and the almighty power to make it through this terrible times in this world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Every word of every story. share this message that the Lord laid on my heart. Before we start, let's give credit where credit's due. Bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've allowed us to be in your church. Lord, I ask you to be with me today as I deliver the message you've laid on my heart. You know I have a tendency to mumble and get sidetracked. I ask you to be with me today and make my words clear, precise, and help me stay on track and deliver the message that you've laid on my heart. Amen. Good news. Good news. We all love good news, don't we? And we love the good news of the season. There are times when good news is especially important. How about we're waiting for the doctor to call and give us the test results, the lab results. We sweat it. We worry over it. And then when we get the call and the first words out of their mouth is, I've got good news. Man, just the pressure. Thank you, Lord. Takes us right off, doesn't it? How about our son, our daughter, call, Mom, Dad, I got good news. Is that a happy day or what? Well, you know, good news of Jesus' birth at Christmas should bring us the same joy, should bring us the same comfort. Now, my message today is about the immaculate birth associated with the Christmas story. But I'm not going to talk about the birth of Jesus today because there are two miraculous births. Jesus was born to a virgin. That's what made it a miraculous birth. The birth of John, who we later called John the Baptist, was also a miraculous birth because, one, his mother was barren, unable to have children. Two, she was old, well past the years of bearing children. Although conceived in a natural way, John's birth was also miraculous. The story is given to us in the first chapter of Luke. I'm going to start with verse 5 and read through verse 25 to let you paint the story, see the picture. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. They were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of the burning incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is to never take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go on before the Lord in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am old, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And He has sent me to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed for so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in a temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was complete, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Now, let's paint a picture here. Zechariah was from the tribe of Levi. We know that if you were born into the tribe of Levi, you had a priestly duty to serve as a priest. It was his turn to serve. Now, they cast lots to determine who went in to light the incense. The incense represented the people's prayer going up to God. That's why everybody was outside praying, so their prayers would go up. Now, this was a dimly lit room. The only light that we know of was the candle stand, candlelight. Now, we in Florida, we know what candlelight is, don't we? Don't we keep candles in our house so when the hurricane comes, knocks out the power, or the tropical storm, we still got light? Candlelight is very eerie. It has that flicker to it. It gives a mystique surrounding and appearance. So while he was in that dark room with that candlelight, an angel appeared to him in spirit. Now, what do we know about angel? Well, for one thing, this is Gabriel, one of only two angels that were even given the name of. Now, Gabriel was a name that Zechariah should have been familiar with, because that's who comforted Daniel. Now, it had been 500 years in recorded history since we have a record of an angel appearing to somebody. And when an angel appears to somebody in spirit form, the first words out of their mouth is, "Don't be afraid." Fear is a natural reaction to having that happen. I mean, if an angel appeared to me, I'd be lucky not to have a heart attack. I mean, fear would grip us. Now, we know angels appear in two forms. They can appear just like you and me, and they can appear in spirit form. And we have records of both in the Bible. Remember Lot. When God decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he also decided to save Lot. He sent two angels in human form to take Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the scriptures tell us God needed to send two angels because Lot tarried. If you read the scripture, it got down to the point where the angel said, "Come on, let's go," and grabbed Lot's hand and practically drug him out of the city in order to accomplish God's will. God's will is going to be done, period, regardless. Our cooperation, our lack of cooperation, it's going to happen. There's many stories of angels in the Bible. Two that really come to mind are out of the book of Kings. First one I'd share with you comes in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. And it's the story of King Hezekiah. Now, the Assyrian army was in the process of conquering the known world. And he was in Israel, taking over God's people. Hezekiah, along with a lot of people, retreated to the city of Jerusalem, the walled city, for protection. And the Assyrian army surrounded them. The Assyrian army was basically starving them out, making them weak before they attacked them. They even sent a letter to King Hezekiah. Says, "Hey, you need to come talk to me. We got to work out our truces for surrender. Because if you don't, real bad things are going to happen." And I know you have a God, but your God's not going to save you. Now, what did King Hezekiah do? He went to the temple. He prayed before God. A great example of how we should pray when times are bad or times are hard. Great model prayer. He laid it out before God. This is the situation. God, you got to take care of it. Now, he got an answer right away through the prophet Isaiah. God has answered your prayer. God's going to take care of your problem. And then the scriptures tell us that an angel, not army, an angel came down from heaven and slaughtered 187,000 men in the night. The Assyrian army woke up the next day, found all these people were dead. They decided to pack their toys and go home. They didn't have a choice. There's no way they were going to win. Another one is the story of Elisha in the 2 Kings chapter 6. He's in the temple. The king of Aram was attacking the king of Israel. And the prophet Elisha was telling the king of Israel all his plans, everything he was doing, all of his traps. And they were avoiding him. Now, when the king of Aram found out, he called the men together and says, "We got a spy in our midst. We got somebody here telling Israel what's going on." They said, "No, sir, we don't. They have Elisha. He's telling them what's going on." So what the king decided to do? He sent an army to take care of Elisha. Elisha was in the town of Dothan. They surrounded the town in the middle of the night. Everybody wakes up. We're surrounded. Now, when one of his servants woke up, saw that they were surrounded, he was gripped with fear. What are we going to do? Elisha said, "Hey, those that are for us is greater than those that are against us." And then he prayed, "God, open his eyes so he can see." What did he see? Army, horses, and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha, protecting Elisha. Elisha wasn't worried about it one bit. As a matter of fact, he didn't even have to use them. When the army was out there, he prayed, "Lord, blind them." So when the Lord blinded him, he goes down. "Hey, guys, they're looking for him. Hey, guys, the man you're looking for is not here, but I know where he is. I can take you right to him." He led the enemy right into the hands of the opposing army. And then said, "Lord, open their eyes." And they opened their eyes and they're surrounded. They're captured. Now, the king said, "What do I do now? Elisha, do I kill them?" He said, No. You don't kill prisoners. You need to feed them." So they threw a feast. Fed them. Let them drink. Sent them home. And they quit attacking God's army, God's people. You know, a lot about the spiritual world we do not understand. Okay, matter of fact, we're cautioned about dabbing in the spiritual world. It can lead us down ways we don't want to go or need to go. But we can rest comfort in the fact we have guardian angels watching over us, keeping us safe. What do we need to worry about? Nothing is the answer. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to work my guardian angel overtime. Matter of fact, I get a picture in the morning when the angels come in for duty. They draw straws. Whoever gets the short straws got to watch Chuck today because that boy's crazy. Trust me, he's crazy. Angels, they watch over us. They protect us. You know, we are all very thankful for Jesus coming into this world, dying on the cross in our place so that we could have an opportunity for forgiveness and have a relationship with God himself. But you know, when Jesus died on that cross, things happened in the spiritual world that are beyond our comprehension. And that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to finding out when I get to heaven. What happened in the spiritual world when Jesus died on the cross? Big things happened. You know what? I don't even think we're going to have to ask. I think we'll just know when we get there. Free knowledge. Now, there's a couple observations I'd like to make about our scripture this morning. One is Zacharias doubted. And when he doubted, it appears that Gabriel almost bowed up, puffed up in the chest. I am Gabriel, he says. I stand in the presence of God. And you question what I'm saying? Have you lost your mind? Well, now, here's an interesting fact. If you read on in the scripture where I stop, what you'll read is 6 months later, the same angel, Gabriel, goes to Mary. Mary, I got good news. You're pregnant. Wait, Mary says, wait a minute. I'm a virgin. How can I be pregnant? Now, Gabriel didn't chastise her, did not stop her from speaking. He comforted her. It's okay, Mary. The Holy Spirit is going to take care of it. What's the difference here? Does God like women better than he does men? It appears that way. All right. What I submit to you this morning is that when Mary questioned, when Mary wanted to know more, she wasn't looking for a sign. You see, we have doubts. Everybody in this room has doubts. It's called being human. As long as we live in this earthly body, we're going to have doubts. We have doubts about our relationship with our Lord and Savior. We have doubts and worries about things that are going on in this world. They cause us concern, especially over the last year or two. I mean, the political environment we live in today causes us great concern about this country that we love and the direction it's going. But you see, we don't need to worry. God's in control. God's will is going to be done. We do not know the master plan. We don't know what direction he's going to take this country and use it for his own good. You know, whenever I was a kid, my parents and my grandparents would talk about the good old days. You know, and we look at them like they're crazy. But you know, as we get older, don't we know what they mean? Don't we want to talk about the good old days? But remember, if we thought our parents were crazy, what makes you think our kids are going to be any different? We shouldn't expect any different. Of course, they're going to look at us like we're crazy, and we don't have a clue what we're talking about. My son says, Dad, that's not the new generation. And I just smile and enjoy the conversation. Now, so, doubt. Mary's doubt caused her to investigate, ask questions, want to know more. That's good doubt. That doubt causes us to research, to learn, to find out more. Another classic example of that would be the movie Ben-Hur. You know, let's show our age here. How many people even know the movie Ben-Hur? Okay. It's a religious movie. Do you know who made the movie Ben-Hur? It was made by a group of men who had decided that the story about Jesus was a bunch of malarkey. And they decided to go to Israel and find out the truth for themselves and to investigate, to ask questions, to learn more. And what they found out is they were wrong. And it was true. And they made the movie Ben-Hur. All right? Zechariah His doubt caused him to question the authority of God. What do you mean? I'm old. And notice he didn't say, my wife's an old lady. Smart man. I love the words. I love the words he's. My wife is well along in years. Smart man, huh? Recorded. Remember, what he said was recorded. Everybody knows. All right. He doubted. He wanted a sign. When our doubt causes us to question the authority of God, to causes us to want a sign, I'm not saying you won't get it. I'm just saying it's probably not what you expected, and you may not like it. All right. Investigation, wanting to know more, wanting to learn, doubt leads us in the right directions. When our doubt causes us to question the authority of God, it's leading us in the wrong direction. Now, another observation I'd like to take this morning is looking at the life of Elizabeth and Mary. All right? They were shunned women. They were disgraced in the eyes of the religious people. God's people made fun of them, criticized them, talked bad about them behind their backs. Mary, because she was a virgin, she was pregnant, and she was not married. Two bad things. Those two facts made her a bad woman. No consideration for the fact that she is carrying the Savior of the world in her womb. Now, Elizabeth, remember, our scripture this morning says she followed God's commands and was blameless in the eyes of God. That's what I read to you. But yet, in biblical days, a high priority was placed on a woman's ability to have children. If you did not have children, there was a reason for it. You did something bad. Your husband did something bad. Somebody did something bad for you to be in that situation. That's how they looked on it. She was physically unable to have children. She was barren, is the way the scriptures disguise it. She was past childbearing years. And yet God used her to bring John the Baptist into the world. We know she was conceived naturally because the angel said, Zechariah, 9 months after you get home, you're going to have a baby. God's natural way. Granted, it still was a miraculous birth. Now, a couple points we can take from that is that when you do things that God wants you to do, people will put you down. People will criticize you. And I'm talking about our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ will criticize you and put you down. One reason they do that is the same reason they did for Mary and Elizabeth. Situations appeared to be bad. They don't know. They didn't know the whole story. People don't know your whole story. But the more you do, the more you're going to get criticized and put down. Another reason for that is when you do things for the Lord and people see it, they're going to feel guilty that they don't. So they have to put you down in order to feel better about themselves. So what I'm saying is that when people are putting you down and criticizing you, wear it as a badge of honor. Wow, I must be doing something right. You see, one of my favorite stories is using the hunting dog reference. A hunting dog in the hunt doesn't feel the fleas biting him. He don't feel the fleas biting him until you take him home and put him in the cage. So if you feel the fleas biting you, ask yourself, am I in the hunt or am I laying down in the cage? That's why I feel it. You see, opportunities to serve. I had no idea Mike was going to have these up here, but it fits perfect. Opportunities to serve are all over the wall. Right? They're right here. Only question is, what's the one for you? And when you, sometimes you don't know till you get out there and you start putting one foot in front of the other. You hit the brick wall and you fall over bloody and flat on your face. Okay, that's not the one for me. But when you do find the one, it'll fit like a glove. And you'll realize that God has prepared you to do that job your whole life. It's you. It's what you were meant to do. And when you find that, serving and joy is a great thing and a very rewarding thing. You know, God can use everybody. One of my favorite stories is Moses, Paul. Paul, one of the greatest religious leaders of the New Testament. Moses, one of the greatest religious leaders of the Old Testament. Now, Moses, we know, was guilty of murder. Paul, well, doesn't come flat out and say it. We can say for sure he was guilty of conspiracy to commit murder. That much we do know. We don't have a record of Paul actually killing somebody. But these are the two men that God used in the New Testament and the Old Testament. If he can use them, he can use me. Matter of fact, me standing up for you today is a classic example. God can use anybody. Because if you knew me and my history, you would have nothing to do with me. When I'm given an opportunity to give my testimony, one of the things I say is I'm a preacher's kid. Most of what you hear about preacher kids is true, and they're talking about me. So let's get that over with right now. I am not an angel, but God can use me, and he can use you. The only question is, are you going to let him? Because we're given choice. It is up to us. It is a choice. And when we step out in faith and make that choice, the blessings are beyond your wildest dreams. Amen? Now, as is our custom on every Sunday, we're going to have an invitation song. If you've never had the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and be obedient to him in baptism, today's your opportunity as we stand and sing. Come forward. Men are prepared to meet you and greet you. Let us sing.
See on the portal. today. And we have a couple of announcements to make. One is the Christmas Eve program, and it's just for this Friday, and it starts at 6 p.m. And so we pray that all of you will be here for that. And then the Faith Promise, we still have, they're going to give us another week to do that. And so that's still up on there. And then the Fellowship Dinner, December 29th, and it's going to be, regular Wednesday night, the last night of the month. And it starts at 6, and then we have the Bible study at 7. And do we have any other announcements? All righty. How about birthdays? Well, we only have one here. And that's Mr. Chico. Let's go ahead and sing happy birthday to Chico. Any other announcements? All righty. If you all stand, and we'll get ready to go and be dismissed. All right. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can be here, Father. We thank you, Father, for the message that was presented to us today, Father. We thank you, Father, for the love that you have for us. For we pray that you will be with all of those that are traveling. And we pray that you just watch over them, protect them, and keep them safe, Father. We pray that you'll be with Mike and Sarah as he's down at Sarah's parents. Father, we also pray that you will be with us as we go out through this week and just guide us and give us your love, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.